Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting.
Than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience.
With Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
Yeah. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ronald gives this a ride to center field. How far is it going to go? Far enough to make it 2-0. Acuna has done it again.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Well, there goes number 32. Cal Raleigh annihilates another one. He has homered in four consecutive games for the first time in his big league career.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
5 seconds. Crowd behind the back. Walter all over him. Holiday has to hoist. He hits!
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
What's happening, everybody? Welcome in. Happy Tuesday to you live out at Langdon Farms. Just kidding. This is actually Wednesday, June 18th, but we are probably, well, no, probably not at Langdon Farms yet. I'm probably en route right now. What time does the first groups go off?
7 a.m.
7 a.m.? I'm en route. You know what? I'm probably just waking up right now, let's be honest, and getting
you're
ready to head out.
You're not even awake yet. If it's a 7 a.m. tea time, you're not even awake yet.
So we're doing this special show for today, and for those who didn't catch why, I'm going to let the man whose dumb idea this was explain the entire reason. So this is a show. It's not a best of show. We will have some best of stuff later on, but it's the Fan Golf Classic, and this is the creation of one, Jason Swigard.
So we made fun of, you guys made fun of the show throughout the year, Mad Dog and Stephen A., and seemingly all of those Embrace Debate shows seemingly got back to in all of the debates, whatever it started out as, it came back to yelling about LeBron or MJ.
Who's better? Who's the GOAT?
And devolved into who are the greatest of all time in the NBA. Mm. And so I said, you know what we should do? Rather than have a whole nother 3 hours of best of. Yeah,
everybody's overheard it before.
They've heard it all before. We should give our once and for all, one time only, top 10 NBA players of all time.
How long until I do this again, though? What if Ace Bailey's a Blazer and he has a great 10-year run? We might have to do another one of these.
So interesting part about that was I went through my list and I wrote down just all the great players I would put in consideration for this, right?
Yeah.
There's players not on my list that I'm like, by the end of the career, I'm redoing this, and they're probably going to be in this.
Yes. A la Giannis. Giannis probably
or
not in the top 10. Or a Jokic.
Well, you know what?
Top
10. In another 10 years, you know, after some people have had careers, has Jokic done enough to get in there yet?
Right.
Kevin Durant, did he gravy train two titles, or where are we at with him?
Yeah. He was a tough player for me.
And then SGA looking like he...
If he wins a title,
Is he just starting something out?
Could he go back-to-back titles? Could he win three in a row?
Exactly.
I mean, is OKC going to win in the next couple of years?
But for now, in this moment, like fun. I got breakfast for everybody.
We did. We just finished our breakfast
Enjoyed
sandwiches.
Enjoyed your Reggie Deluxes.
We're feeling good. I now have to poop, so I'm going to have to poop the entire time. I appreciate that. So I'm going to hold that in. So take that with a grain of salt.
Teddy will fish it out for you.
Yeah, he'll fish it out when I get my top 10 list going, and you're just thinking of my bubble guts right now. So I appreciate that.
Other than that,
hey, Luke, how's it going?
We didn't put any parameters.
Hey, Jake, what's up?
On the 10. It was just NBA.
Whoever you want.
So, okay, but we all have our individual parameters.
That's what makes the discussion fun.
So let's start here. We're going to go through everybody's top 10, and then we make fun of it, and we can react to it. You can give your reasonings why, and we'll do a segment for each of the top 10s.
Because I'm unsure how we're actually unveiling this. Are we going, we're each doing 10, 9, 8, and then we come back?
No. Well, we'll see how long it goes.
You want to do all top 10 in one segment and then just go?
We'll see how it goes. We're making this up as we go. We don't know how long it's going to go.
We'll need some more time than
that. He has plans to leave.
We're figuring it out, okay? I got a poop. I just went over. I got a poop. So here's what I wanted to start with. What is the criteria for your top 10?
Career longevity, success, established success, right? Like
team
all-star
or individual?
Games.
So individual success?
Individual success has to matter. Team success is important, although I find that we punish guys for not having maybe the ultimate team success, but still team success nonetheless.
Yes.
Records, where your standing is all time. And for me, like I think the tough thing is there's probably an era of basketball I don't have on this. So I'm calling this my Bill Chamberlain all-time top 10. This is an homage to those are two guys that easily should be on the list.
The finals MVP award that we're giving away for our top 10.
The eras are tough. Yeah. There's some guys I didn't grow up watching, but like I didn't get to watch any of it. All of it's black and white. Like it's just tough for me. So I'm going to call it my Bill Chamberlain top 10.
Okay.
And then also the impact culturally you had on the sport. So like if you're doing like a top 30, probably going to put Iverson on there, as ridiculous as that is to most people, because I just think the cultural impact of Allen Iverson was massive.
He was massive.
Oh, yeah.
Big deal.
You can't deny that. And I would, you know, if we extended this out to 25 or whatever, Iverson.
You're going to start to get into those zones.
Right, right into that 12-hour
show. We're bumping Danny and Dusty now. We're going to go all day, baby. I'm not going home.
So
that's an interesting criteria. What was your criteria?
I started looking at just the names that popped off them, and when I think, what is the NBA – who in the history of the NBA can you not tell it without them being a part of
it? Yeah, that's exactly how I view it.
And I wrote down the first like 10, 15 names that I came to. I was like, all right, here's the pool.
Yes.
Then I dove in and went in and looked at stats and accomplishments. For me, more than just the statistical sorts of things, team success and longevity ended up playing it a much larger role for me and moving guys around that I didn't think would be in certain spots.
So you're a ring counter. Swag's a bit of a ring counter.
Yes.
What about clutch gene? Did you go through your clutch genes?
What about killer instinct? Does he have a killer instinct?
Unfortunately, all my genes are a little too clutchy these days. But and then the other piece was, did you in some fashion revolutionize the NBA?
Did you make an impact
during your career? Was the game played differently or was it strategized differently? Did the league start to change how they officiated things, change rules, whatever the case may be, because of how you played and it was so unique that they had to address it?
Okay, that's a fair way to do it.
Now, what did you do? Because your list is going to be the funniest. Not the funniest isn't like it's not a legit top 10.
Rod Strickland, Damon Stoudemire, Arvidas Sabonis, and Brian Grant.
But you were
all in
like,
my top 10.
I'm flying off the seat of my pants.
I thought it was going to be the all under 6 foot list.
Hey, look, I will say that is a part of my criteria. Part of my criteria on it. No, I mean, it was like I tried to balance because I have a hard time with the NBA. It's unique this way where guys can dominate purely based on the traits that they were born with.
Yeah.
And how do you compare that? Like, let's use two examples here. How do you compare Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Allen Iverson?
Right.
A guy who's barely 6 foot tall. Mm-hmm. Did Allen Iverson ever play with another All-Star his entire career?
Dikembe.
Was he an All-Star that year in Philly? That was old Dikembe.
I think he won DPOY
the year
they
went to
the
finals. Defensive player, but you know
what
I'm saying.
Let me look that up, but I think he won DPOY that
year. I'm just saying, when you look at the guys who they played with, the size, all of the other intangibles that go with it, like that's a very challenging thing to do because it's such a different game, and I could just dominate with a skyhook because I'm taller than you and you can't block my shot. And one guy's 6 foot and he has to go to the hoop. So the size was a bit of a, for me, but I think this is, again, the hard part with top tens is I'm curious how many different names we have.
Yeah, Dikembe was an All-Star.
He was an All-Star, okay. And how many different names that we have, and then my criteria is really not that different. It's individual success. It's how much you impacted and changed the game. And then also, if you didn't experience the team success that others did, were you a part of it, or was that something that you had no control over?
Right.
Like, we're coming off a Damian Lillard era where he never got a legitimate chance to win.
Yeah.
Now, he's not a top 10 player, but just to use as an example,
right.
Like his organization failed him. That shouldn't be held against him in the ring count. He can't be this or that. So that was part of it for me. I'm curious where Swag has a surprising number one overall player.
That's what he says. He maintains this.
It won't be. I think it'll be surprising from you that I put this player number one.
Okay, it's a different way to say it then. Okay.
Yeah, not right. that player is number one.
We were taking
one.
Bets behind the scenes of who your number one player was going to be.
Well, so yeah.
Can we just establish though before we get into this and people get mad because they hate whatever we have at whatever number?
That's going to be the funniest part, and why we're doing this and then not being in the studio.
Pull up the text line. We're sitting on the sixth hole right now at Langdon Farms. I'll pull up the text line to see how angry people are.
Yeah, people are going to start hating individuals on this show because of this list.
It's technically a live show, but it's recorded, but it's live on the air for the first time.
It's new content.
It's new content.
It is. I will always, to my grave, I will believe the NBA is a field of goats.
Yes.
Number one to me is not even like,
what's up, Dubs?
Well, number two can't be the best basketball player.
Oh, exactly.
It's my own personal metric, but they're all field of goats.
Yeah.
Just maybe one goat that eats more of
the
weeds.
There's one that eats a little bit more.
And if any of them would have been in a Blazer uniform, I would probably own that Blazer uniform.
Oh. No Bill or Clyde.
Oh.
Oh. I do have a couple
names. No Blazers in the top 10.
Where are we at time-wise?
We're just almost 10 minutes here.
So I would say this, before we get into it.
Okay.
Once I wrote my names down, I had to then do the initial, okay, probably not if I'm being logical. And I have a list of guys that don't make mine.
Should we start with our near-miss list? The guys who are just outside of the top 10?
Yeah, we can do that.
And then we can get into the top 10s? Okay, how about we
do this? I
can do
it quick.
Let's do this.
Okay.
Why don't we put a bow on this first segment?
Okay, we'll do that.
Why don't we put a bow on the first segment? I'm going to go pour myself another cocktail at the sixth hole at Langdon Farms.
I like that.
Where all the listeners are going to be hanging out with us today. It's the Fangolf Classic. We're doing this special show for the Fangolf Classic. We'll have some pre-recorded content a little bit later on. As the NBA draft is tomorrow, guys, don't you know? What are the Blazers going to do tomorrow? Can you believe the NBA Finals is over? That end of the NBA Finals is absolutely bonkers. We got a lot still to get to. Let's start with our near-miss list of our top 10s. That'll be the opening segment. Well, second segment, but that was our opener. Segment number one coming up next on the Fam.
Yo, it's Jay Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer.
SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome in live out at Langdon Farms. Not really, but kind of. Dirt and Sprague here with a special live recorded / live edition of our top 10 greatest players in NBA history. We went through in the last segment why we did this, what we came up with. We all have our definitive list, but as we close the last segment, Sprague was mentioning, and I think we all have this, right, when you come up with your list, we all compiled a list of names, and you're like, all right, who's going to officially be in the top 10? But then you have names that are just on the outside looking in, the just outside top 10 list. So I'll let you start, Sprague, of your you're very close to the top 10, but not quite inside the top 10.
Yeah, I think it's tough, man, because outside of the top 10 is just like all-time great stuff. I really struggle with eras. It's really hard. Like Bill Russell, I saw a stat before we recorded this that like of the 17 years of team organized basketball that Bill Russell could have played, he won the title in 14 of them.
That's pretty good.
That's unbelievable. He's the ultimate winner in the sport. He represents the rings movement, all that, the culture, all of it. So that's why it's the Bill Chamberlain. Chamberlain also not in my top 10. But I want to give respect to him because his numbers were insane on and off the court, if you know what I'm saying.
Can anybody explain to me how, and maybe there's a theory behind this or something I'm missing as a young in this conversation, I was looking at Wilt Chamberlain numbers. He had years where he averaged like 50 and 25.
Yes.
And he wasn't first-team All-NBA.
I know.
Well, I think it just was like,
well, that
this
was
is
the
unfair.
Starting five for the Celtics.
Yeah, it really was.
50 and 20. How is, what?
You know, his 100
years
point
he didn't
game,
win MVPs, like 50 and 27 a game.
It's absurd.
Not to get too deep into conspiracy, his 100 point game has kind of been brought up recently of like,
well, yeah.
Did it really
did
happen?
Did it really happen?
Oh, AI generated 100% game. Are you telling me? Moon landing, not real?
They've been hard to find evidence of it, actually, him scoring 100 points. But that's neither here nor there. So here's, I'll run through it real quick.
We'll
so
go through our near top 10s.
Jokic has to be in this.
Yes.
I know he's got the one ring, but like you cannot be what he has been so far and not even be in consideration. He is absolutely here, and there's a good chance in 2 or 3 years he's in this list, okay? Giannis is also this for me. Now, this is partial bias. I will fully admit this. I think he's all-time talent. I think he's one of the freakiest players to ever exist that play basketball.
He gets freaky at night.
But I also think he's a great leader, a great franchise player. He gave a team that hadn't won a title since Kareem had played for it a title, which is crazy. And I also, admittedly, this is where the bias comes in. I read his book. His story is unbelievable. It is the ultimate immigrant story that you could possibly know in the NBA. Dirk is just barely on the outside for me. Dirk was a tough one.
Yeah.
I wanted to give him more. Got an MVP. Dallas was nothing but successful with him. Got to 2 finals, won
the title,
beat a huge team. Like, that was a big deal. Jason Kidd, another name for me. Mm. One of the best all-time assist guys. Took New Jersey Nets teams to the NBA Finals as a point guard in the era of the big man, mind you. Another one, KD. Like, we can think what we want about KD and the ring hopping stuff. Like, that's fine. He is a certifiable top whatever 3-4 bucket getter in league history. There's no debating that for me. Kevin Garnett was another one. Really tough. His team success didn't ultimately pan out in Minnesota, but that's not also Kevin Garnett's full fault. So that was tough. I was glad he got the ring. Dr. J is a – this is maybe the hardest because Dr. J, when you say how do you tell a story of the league with a name – I mean, the ABA-NBA merger and getting to the finals and, like, just his entire career. I don't know how you tell the story of basketball without Dr. J.
There's no dunk contest without Dr. J.
No, there's
the
not.
The afro, like, all of it. So Dr. J is not, and I have no faults with anybody that puts him in it for a lot of historic reasons.
The up-and-under layup might be one of the most iconic highlights in the history of the league.
He's never going to make anybody's list because he had playoff failure after playoff failure, but his stats actually put him in it. Karl Malone. Just from a stats perspective and team success, Utah was irrelevant.
Do we consider off-the-court antics in our top 10 list?
He's never going to be my top 10. I also hate the Jazz.
Yeah, who does?
And Isaiah Thomas. Isaiah Thomas.
Well, that's the one that'll never be.
Yeah.
I think he's the most despicable person ever in the NBA.
But he's pretty bad.
I don't disagree with you on some of that stuff.
Now, did you take that into consideration in your top 10, despicableness?
Yeah, did.
Did character issues arise in your top 10?
That's a good question.
No.
No.
Okay. Isaiah was out. He wouldn't have cracked it, but
sure. But that the reason was not because
very little consideration.
most of those all under consideration. Yeah. I would add, and this is one where if you go back and look at the stats and the accolades and stuff, Moses Malone.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And then you have Barkley, and to go with Karl Malone, John Stockton. I mean,
Stockton was tough for me.
Stockton's on my near-miss list too. Lead the league in steals multiple times. The
steals
assist
and
numbers,
assists, and that's when he was going against Magic. And, it's insane.
Will anybody ever touch, like, those are some of those numbers that you're just like, that's
the assist one's tough.
Unreachable.
Yeah, the assist one will be tough because he played for so long.
And there were like 6 years in a row where it was like 13, 14 assists a game. And he missed, I was looking up his numbers too because he's on my near miss list. From like a 13-year stretch, he missed a total of 4 games.
Yeah, he played every day.
Like,
so every game.
Chris Paul just played a full season at his age. I think he's 39 or 40, which is everybody noted how crazy that is. Chris Paul, whose basic primary function as a player was assists.
For what, 15, 17? How long has he been in the
league?
He
is 3,400 away from Stockton.
That's legitimately one of those numbers that I don't know.
If anybody will catch him.
If anybody will ever get there.
Yeah.
It's kind of the baseball thing with, like, you know, certain batting averages and hits because guys, it's just a different game.
Yeah.
Not that there aren't still guys with high assist numbers, but it's just not the same.
I think if this era continues of a lot of threes and more pace and up and down, where if I'm coming down on the break and I just flip it to a guy and they're hot and they're shooting threes, I think we've seen Westbrook with double digit assists.
He's eighth all time on that leaderboard.
Yeah, so I think if it's going to happen, it's going to happen in this next generation where somebody comes in and they get a lot of free assists because you've got
shooters
all around you, that sort of thing. Akeem was just outside.
I'm fascinated to see your top 10 now.
He's maybe my favorite non-Blazer basketball NBA player of all time.
Closest should have been Blazer.
Coin flip? No, a coin flip. No, yeah. Let's not revisit
honk
that.
Once, honk twice. Are we going to do that again for the draft? That kind of sounds like fun. So I'm looking at my near misses. There's not many names. So I had Stockton on my near miss list for the – I mean, just remarkable. What he did is to be like an undersized white point guard
from
and
Gonzaga,
do what he did from
Gonzaga,
Gonzaga
yeah.
like for 30
Before
years.
Before they were Gonzaga.
Insane,
yeah.
right? Like he was incredible. I also had Kevin Durant on my near miss. I think you can make an argument Kevin Durant's the best offensive player in the history of the league.
Yeah, certainly.
I just – from his size, his skill set, there's never really
like you said,
seen
you,
anybody that can do that.
If you need a bucket –
who are you picking over him, right?
Just, I mean, Team USA went to him.
Yes. Yeah. The Warriors, when they had Steph, went to him. He was the best player on those teams, right? So Kevin Durant's on my near-miss list. The only other two that didn't get names, so this would be telling who our top tens are. I also had Hakeem just on the outside looking in. The other two names that I did not have inside my top ten are Kobe Bryant. I did not have Kobe inside the top 10.
I can't wait to see your top 10.
And Steph Curry was not in my top 10.
Oh, okay. you got to be.
I got to die on that hill. I can't do all that for years and then do this show and then roll over and put him in my top 10. Steph Curry, greatest shooter. Nobody debates it. He will go down as, I don't know if anybody will ever touch him in the level of threes and the volume that he made them at. But I tried to, you know, parcel out the well-roundedness of a player and not just one overall strength. And so that was the only reason that Steph Curry was not inside my top 10, but I had him 12th overall. I don't think that's super disrespectful. And then, as I mentioned, Kobe Bryant, who I think was an incredible player, an incredible leader, won a ton of championships. There's no question about it. A high-volume guy, a good defensive player. He's just outside the top 10. So that's the hard part with these lists, too, is that when you say somebody's not top 10, it almost feels disrespectful. And people are like, how do you – it's like, well, I have him 11th overall.
Thousands of players have played in the NBA.
I don't think it's rude to say you're the 12th best player in the history of the league.
I would cry.
We just put a top 10 – you know, that's like the line and the demarcation line that you have that, you know, just isn't quite – didn't quite cut it. So those are the near misses for our top 10s. We're almost done with our second segment here.
Yes.
Who would like to go first on their top 10 list? Do we want to draw straws? Do we want a magic hat this?
No, I can start
it. Put a name in a hat?
Sure. I can start it.
Okay, so Brandon Sprague, hold on.
Okay.
In the next segment,
we
will begin unveiling our top 10 greatest NBA players of all time. How many hole-in-ones do I have at this point? You think three by now?
I think I'm going to get more than you.
Hanging out?
I think I have more than you right now.
About
playing.
What do we think it's going to play? 110? What do we think that hole's playing?
Well, I think I'm going to have it up closer.
We think a close front pin today?
I think it's going to be like 102.
Swag, what's the funniest scenario in play here? He gets a hole-in-one that doesn't count.
That's going to actually be really depressing.
Or he gets near misses and I somehow get lucky and get another
one. Yeah, you knocking one in.
I actually, you know, that would suck.
And he ends up with things rolling up, you know, kick in range.
There is an idea of me getting a hole-in-one that's going to be depressing. Because it'll be cool.
It won't
count.
But it won't count. It's not an official
one. I don't think you want this to happen.
I don't know if I do either.
Yeah, you should want this
I hope
to
I'm just flirting with it. Get me inside the hula hoop all day so I know I'm on.
And
my game style.
Like, damn, that's a stick.
God, that could have been in, but I don't know if I want a
like
hole
in one. Like just peeling them off like 4 or 5 and they're rolling up 6 inches there. It's like, I got this hole, like, you know, nailed.
Well, as we were talking about on our show last Wednesday, it's like the idea of a college baseball offense. You only get so many of those in your life. You don't want to use one of them up in a round that doesn't count. There's only so much magic in this bag. So we're hanging out. It's a Fan Golf Classic, a live show, recorded show, live show. Having fun. The top 10s officially begin to be unveiled next on The Fan.
Yo, it's Jay Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer.
SummerSlam.
I know. I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey, y'all. Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze. Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back in for the Fangolf Classic live recorded live show of our 10 greatest players in NBA history. We've gone over our criteria and what we use to compile our top 10. We've gone over our near misses. And now, without further ado, we begin to unveil the top 10 greatest players in the history of the NBA, according to Brandon Sprague.
So I'll start at number 10 here. Now, I need to say this before I name who it is. I once on the air said, not in my top 10. Part of the story changes the opinion, but also just in looking back, you got to be really honest about this stuff. And so even if you didn't root for the person, you got to evaluate this. And if going off all the criteria I named, I don't know how Kobe's not a top 10 player. Kobe Bryant is my number 10. Now, there's an insane part of the internet that tries to say he's the second or he's the third best player. And like, I watched him play. 5-time NBA champ. 2-time NBA Finals MVP, 4th all-time leading scorer, 15-time All-NBA, a league MVP, 2-time scoring champ, and 12 times on the all-defensive team. And that's not even counting his all-star stuff, his gold medal. Like, just taking that right there with the sample size of the career, the 81-point game, I know it's not, you know, defining anything, but shooting free throws with the Achilles torn, rehabbing, and then even though he shot almost 60 times to get 60 points, his last game he scored 60 points and has everybody in America going crazy. Look, you just say the name and you think of winner, intense NBA. And the tragedy of him passing away with his daughter at the time he did, like, that elevates it to some extent. I don't know why we wouldn't be honest about that. But his career accolades, absolutely. Top 10, Kobe Bryant comes in at my number 10.
Now, let me ask this, and no, I don't know if you know this off the top of your head. He won the two Finals MVPs. Were either of those with Shaq?
No.
So the Shaq won all three?
The three Shaq ones were all Shaq, which was right.
He won them when they won with Gasol and beat Orlando and Boston.
Look, for the people that think he's higher than top 10, that's totally fine. You're free to think that. The reason he's 10 for me is not only the accolades and the longevity, and you're going to hear me say this about a couple players. I don't think he should have gotten the second Finals MVP. Go back to the Game 7. It's one of the worst performances in a Game 7 by a major player. He had a few of those in his career, by the way, that we just overlooked because he gritted his teeth.
And he won 5 titles.
And he won 5 titles. He called himself Mamba, and he was Michael Jordan's little brother. It should have been Gasol. That second Finals, Gasol was the MVP of that series to me. They gave it to Kobe because of the name, I think, but he got them nonetheless. But, Kobe Bryant, my number 10.
Okay. Do we want a reaction to each player, or do we just keep going?
I think we keep going.
Just keep going?
So you want me to go number 9?
Final synopsis. Okay.
And then we'll react to it there.
So I'm doing my full list?
Yeah, we'll chirp in every now and then, but you just keep going. You keep rolling.
Number 9, Steph Curry. I've really thought about this. This was not easy for me. Again, this is the Bill Chamberlain list for anybody that's going to chime in and get really upset.
How dare you?
There's an Eras thing here. I'm cutting it off. 11-time All-Star, 2-time scoring champ, 4-time NBA champ, Finals MVP, 2-time MVP, first unanimous winner of the award, 11 times All-NBA, all-time three-point leader. Minus his one injured season when he played 5 games right around COVID, he has shot under 40% from 3 twice in a 16-year career, and one of those seasons he shot 0.397. We would round that up to 40.
Yeah.
You cannot have the volume of shots from 3 and shoot 40. That's insane. Nobody would have believed you that that's a real player. The cultural impact, I mean,
he's changed the game.
He's changed the game.
Yeah.
And I understand that he hasn't won all the Finals MVPs. He's had Finals moments where he doesn't look like the alpha of the alphas. But, dude, the Olympics in Paris, finally getting on the Olympic team and winning it, go night-night. The impact of the 3 ball in the league. And say what you want, Golden State's teams have been loaded. But that whole culture shift doesn't happen without good locker room leadership. And I give him a lot of credit for that. So I'm going Steph Curry with my number 9.
Okay. Steph over Kobe is going to be controversial to some right out of the gate. I love it.
That's okay. My number 8, I'm actually surprised. Swag surprised me the most of anybody here. My number 8 is Hakeem Olajuwon. Hakeem, as they called him when he came in the league, because nobody knew his name nor bothered to ask. Yeah. And then one day during his career, actually went up to a Rockets PR person and said,
Hakeem.
Could you put an H in front of my name? And he goes, why? And he goes, my name's Hakeem. And he goes, why didn't you tell us? He goes, I didn't know. I was too scared. Hakeem Olajuwon is a 12-time All-Star. He's 12 times All-NBA. He's a 2-time champ, a 2-time Finals MVP, all-time blocks leader, 2-time Defensive Player of the Year, league MVP, 9 times All-Defensive Team. And he has the greatest footwork of any player in league history. It's not close. If you really remember the history, and I'm not calling Swag out here because I know Swag remembers. If you remember the history of the Rockets prior to the titles, Hakeem Olajuwon's Rockets teams were piss poorly built. He had years where he was doing insane things, and his teams were one and done in the playoffs.
Yep.
And it wasn't until they finally found the right nucleus.
Took a long time.
Where he was like, look at this. I got some help, and look what I can do. And one of the rumor mill things in the NBA, long rumored, never been confirmed, is that one of the things Michael always, I wouldn't say feared, because I don't think Michael feared anybody, but always worried or kept a side eye on was, I don't want to play that dude in the finals because Luke Longley ain't stopping whatever that was.
Yeah, Jay, that guy. He admitted it in The Last Dance. I think somewhere in The Last Dance it was like
that, I think it was the Rocket doc.
Or maybe
and
that.
I think it's it like, was that's, Harper or Ori.
That's a problem.
That, yeah, that basically Mike knew he would be a problem more so than
they didn't have a good answer.
They had no answer for him. It's just the league. He's also symbolic in this way. He's really the representative of what the international side of basketball had become at that point.
Mm-hmm.
That dude was a soccer player who was 6'8". They asked him to play ball. He got noticed. It took off from there, and he changed his game. By the way, Moses Malone may have created Hakeem Olajuwon. He used to play him in the summers at Houston University, punked him one day, dunked on him, fell to the floor, and he said, you got to be better. The next summer, Hakeem dunked on Moses. Moses fell. He went to pick Moses up. Moses was not a guy you effed with. And Moses just went, about damn time you did that. And from there, Hakeem took off. So Hakeem Olajuwon is my number 8.
Okay.
Number 7 is Larry Bird. Okay? 12-time All-Star, 10-time All-NBA, 3-time champ, 2 Finals MVPs, 3 MVPs in a row. He's on the list with Russell and Wilt as the only winners of that award 3 times in a row in league history. 3-time All-Defensive, Rookie of the Year, and robbed of the three-point line era. Because if he would have done it, his numbers would have been more impressive.
Yep.
His three-point numbers are
and
remarkable.
And so despite the back injury, you cannot tell the history of the league without Larry Bird, Larry Legend, the Hick from French Lick is my number 7. Where are we at in time? Am I good?
You got it. Well, let's get to your – we'll get to your top 5, go to break.
Well,
and then after the break.
You want me to do 6?
Yeah. You can do number
do 6.
Okay. And then we'll take a quick break.
Number 6, Shaquille O'Neal, 15-time All-Star, 4-time champ, Rookie of the Year, 3-time Finals MVP, a three-peat, 14-time All-NBA, 2-time scoring champ, 3-time All-Defensive, 1 MVP. So he's got little things that you're like, why was there only one of those?
That's a weird one that showed up in the Shaq research.
He's the most dominant force I've ever seen in my life. Underrated skill with size and touch. Like, he's 15th in rebounds. He's 8th in blocks. He's 9th in scoring. He's got 4 rings, and he's got a three-peat in these 3 Finals MVPs. He got to the finals at a young age. He lost to a very veteran seasoned dude. He goes to L.A., and he transforms the Lakers back into everything they want. Shaq is number 6. I'd never seen a more dominant force in my life.
It's an interesting guy, too, because he's also somebody that almost had 2 different versions of himself in the NBA, where he was always big, physical, and dominant, but early he'd run the floor and yam on you, and then later it just was in the low block.
We started getting those,
nothing
feet
you could do.
In those foot injuries, and for big guys, as we know from Bill Walton,
I got to change the way I play a little bit. I'm just going to go down there.
That's
and you can't
what
stop
supports
me.
300 and however many pounds.
Right.
And, you can't rehab when you get foot injuries.
I think it's hard for people our size to comprehend what it is to be that size.
Yeah.
And so when they quote-unquote only win 4, we look at it and go, why not more? Be like, well, that's not always easy.
Not an easy thing to do.
I mean, go look at his finals numbers, by the way, in 04 against the Pistons. Wow. They didn't lose that finals because of Shaquille O'Neal.
Not at all.
He was awesome in that series. So Shaq is my number 6.
Okay.
Just on the outside of the top 5.
So we still got the top 5 to come. That'll come after the break.
Next.
How do we feel, Jason Swigard? Do you want to give a quick synopsis of his 6-10? Biggest surprise so far?
The biggest surprise was how far down Kobe was.
Ah.
Because I know you are a big Kobe, you like very much believe in the Mamba mentality and those sorts of things. I was surprised he was that low on your list.
I used to not have him in my top 10.
You did it, yeah.
And then
you
I thought about
out.
It. Yeah.
Is that the death top 10? Is that an RIP top 10?
I mean, look, the RIP.
If he's alive, is he in the top 10?
Making him laugh in person probably changed my bias there a little bit as well, but also just go look at the resume. You can't argue with that resume.
I think a lot of people warmed to Kobe later in his career.
I agree.
He was a Blazer killer early on, and we hated him, and we still did, but I think there was a level of appreciation humiliation by the end of what he accomplished. I'll never forget the night his last game in the NBA was the same night that the Warriors won their 73rd game, setting the regular season record
That's
for wins.
Right.
And the Kobe game to me was like, it wasn't even close what I was more interested in.
Well, because I think they played a crappy team.
We knew they were going to win, but it was about like seeing it. And then it was the thought
they playing the Clippers?
It was somebody bad, I thought, but I don't know.
But Kobe was playing the Jazz, and the Jazz
scored,
were amazing.
Like, he went off. He's shooting the ball every time down the floor. Like, that was a really fun night. So I would say my biggest surprise is Larry Bird at 7. Being that low, I would have assumed Larry Bird was a consensus top five for a lot of people. So that's probably my biggest surprise.
Well, come back and I'll tell you who the
there
consensus
we go.
Top
who
five
are the top
be.
Five. We'll find out. We're just getting started unveiling all of our top tens live, but not really, but kind of out at Langdon Farms for the Fan Golf Classic. Sprague's top five next on the Fam. All right, welcome back in live out at Langdon Farms. Not really, but kind of our top 10 NBA greatest of all time player list. Fun, special show. We left you on the cliffhanger of all cliffhangers. We got Brandon Sprague, 6 through 10 of his top 10 of all time. Without further ado, the world is ready to learn who are the top five players in the history of the NBA.
10 through 6, quick. Kobe, Steph, Olajuwon, Larry, Shaq.
Shaq.
Now, I'm curious your list, because you don't have Kobe in your top 10.
I do not have Kobe in my top 10.
And I don't know where he is in your top. I'm fascinated to see your list. Here's my number 5. And this one's tough, because in my heart, and you probably know this because we've argued about this guy, he is maybe a little higher in my heart. Tim Duncan comes in at number 5.
Okay.
He's 5th in blocks. He's 6th in rebounds. 17th in scoring. 15-time All-NBA. 5 championships. 3 finals MVP. Should be 4. Should have been the MVP in 07. That was bold that they gave that to Tony Parker. Tony Parker just averaged
That's
more points.
That's right. I forgot Tony Parker won that finals MVP.
He should have 4 MVPs and 5 titles.
Yeah.
2-time MVP, rookie of the year, 15-time all-defensive team. And the Spurs, here's a fun fact. He played 19 years. The Spurs never won less than 50 games. That is...
For 2 decades.
We haven't – I mean, we're seeing it with one player, and he's kind of at the tail end right now. Duncan was doing stuff we'd never seen, man. 20-year run of that kind of excellence.
Even guys like Kobe and Steph and some of these other guys, I mean, they've had years where they've been hurt or out, and they've had down seasons.
Yeah, I actually think he's grossly underrated. I think it's disgusting when I hear people do this top five stuff. And he's not in my list. So I don't know if he's in your top fives, but I'm ready to be disgusted. I think he's the ultimate winner. What he did at Wake Forest and what he became very, very quickly for the Spurs. I mean, Robinson was a great player. They were basically never good enough with Robinson. When Duncan came in, they won the chip. I mean, it was all Duncan. He changed everything. He set the culture. He allowed Pop to be Pop. And he brought this new wave of talent. And he never got mad if somebody else was the one. Do whatever it takes to win, guy. I love Tim Duncan. He's my number 5. Number 4 is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Kareem, I would make this argument. Greatest basketball career of any human ever.
Yes.
Kareem has that conversation, and maybe he's probably the GOAT in that, okay? Rookie of the year, 2-time scoring champ, 15-time All-NBA, 11-time All-Defensive, 3rd all-time in blocks, 6 championships, 2 finals MVPs, 19-time All-Star, and obviously the 2nd leading scorer in league history. The skyhook is synonymous with basketball. The goggles had to change an attitude. Actually, Kareem was a great player, got angry very quickly in Milwaukee, left to L.A., was a little bit of a problem for them. He had a bad attitude. Magic came in, smiled his white pearlies, and changed everything.
Yep.
Him and Magic with that run, unbelievable. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I don't know how he's not in the top 5. And maybe he's not for everybody, but Kareem Abdul-Jabbar has to be in the top 5. I think he's number 4 all time. Number 3 is his teammate, Magic Johnson. Irvin Magic Johnson, 15-time All-Star, 10-time All-NBA, 3-time MVP, 7th all-time in assists, 3-time finals MVPs, 9 finals appearances. I'm sorry. I'm not somebody that says you got to the championship, you lost, you're not good. Getting to the championship is what you want every year, is it not? Is that not what we bet for the Blazers to do?
That's why you play.
You got there 9 times.
Exactly. Can't win the big one. Like, oh, wait, he did a bunch.
Exactly. He won it 5 out of 9 times.
Yeah.
And this should be noted.
The most watched press conference in NBA league history.
He lost 4 seasons to HIV. Yep. People forget this, or maybe they don't. He was averaging 19-12-7. His last season before he had
How
to walk away.
How old was
away.
He when he walked away?
32 or 3.
He was in his young 30s.
Early 30s. Yes.
So he lost 4 seasons because of the HIV stuff. He came back. He wasn't the same.
No.
But, I mean, if you're going to have Larry in your top 10, Kareem. Like, you can't tell the story of the league without Magic. And look, Larry was good. Well, Larry was great, but like Larry, Magic was great fodder for the country. There was the black-white element. I'd make
West
an
Coast,
argument.
East Coast.
Magic slightly bigger in that duel because he had the smile.
Mm-hmm.
L.A. sexier than Boston.
Far more charismatic.
Far more, like, wanted to do interviews. You don't see Larry Bird anymore. I just saw Magic Johnson on First Take, giving takes that everybody already knows. So Magic is my number three.
Okay.
This is where it's going to get gross.
Oh, God.
I got to be honest with you.
Here we go. At Brandon Sprague on Twitter.
Michael Jeffrey Jordan.
Wow. He did it. He did it.
14-time All-Star, 9-time All-Defensive, 5 MVPs, 6 titles, 6 Finals MVPs, 2 different three-peats, 10-time scoring champ, a DPOY, 3-time steals champ, 4th all-time steals, 5th all-time scoring, 11-time All-NBA.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I'll say this. I have a Mike Jordan poster on my gym wall.
Is it the
No,
the
it's
wings?
One of him doing a dunk, and there's like 4 different versions of him when he jumped. Mike is one of my all-time if you don't pick Mike, you're a Mike hater. It's ridiculous. It's stupid. I live in both worlds. Michael Jordan is absolutely deserving of being number one on everybody's list. I don't hate it. I'm just taking into account one. Imagine if my number one player just walked away. What would they say about how weak he is? He walked away twice.
He did. Yep.
The Wizards years existed. I'm sorry, Michael Jordan fans. Those were real years.
Yes.
Go listen to Jerry Stackhouse talk about what it was like, by the way, to be his teammate in Washington. Doesn't sound like it was a whole lot of fun. Look, and Pippen is going to go down as one of the all-time underrated players in league history. Was he a Robin? Sure. But he damn near was a Batman for a Blazer team that was a quarter away from a finals run. They won 55 games.
And he allowed Jordan on the floor at times to not worry about anything other than scoring.
Did they win 55 games the year after Mike walked away?
Yeah.
That was a pretty damn good team. So, I think he had a great team, and he's an all-time player. And what I will acknowledge is this. I cannot argue some of the stuff that you can't quantify. What I would say is absolutely big shot, big moment.
He's the best closer.
Mike. Like, I'm not even going to refute that. Michael Jordan in that moment, my God, there you go. Okay?
There you go.
Number one.
Who could it be? I'm waiting, bated breath.
From Akron, Ohio, LeBron James.
LeBron James.
All-time leading scorer, 4-time champ, 4 MVPs in the finals. Should be 5, by the way. Should have got it the year they lost in 2015. That was ridiculous that Iguodala got it. Top 25 in rebounding. 4th all-time in assists, Dirt.
Yes.
8 straight finals, 9 in 10 years. First player to win finals MVP with 3 different teams in game 7s. You know how he's not clutch? He doesn't have that gene, they say.
Well, not a clutch gene.
In game 7s, he averages 35, 10, and 6, and he's 6-2 all-time in game 7s. He's the career leader in games, minutes, points, field goals, free throws, defensive rebounds, steals. And the 2007 Cavs finals team is one of the most impressive things I've ever seen in my life from an athlete in any sport. And there's been no player that's ever come in with that kind of hype and is delivered.
Nope.
If I told everybody that doesn't like him, and that's fine if you don't, I think people mix up his commentary and his things that he says, and I think they mix it and cover his game. And I also think if you don't grit your teeth and pound your fist and look angry, you're not a clutch competitor, which is ridiculous. If I gave you just the career, say you're not a LeBron guy, right? You're a big Jordan guy and you don't even acknowledge
blind
LeBron.
Resume.
If I just showed you, hey, the guy you're reading about that you already hate because he got a Hummer. God forbid. If I give you the piece of paper and I slide over what he's accomplished, what are you saying?
Yeah.
Nothing.
What's the better career? What's the better resume?
You're not saying anything. So, like, 2016 down 3-1 to the 73-win Warriors, and then wearing a Warrior t-shirt off the airplane is the ultimate troll.
Yeah.
Winning a title in Cleveland, winning 3 championships with 3 different teams. I just, you know. There
and
are
getting
stats.
Some of those early Cavaliers teams to the finals.
Unbelievable.
I think, honestly, the biggest argument for LeBron ever is the 2007 Cavs team. I think if you're making an argument, like, the comeback was incredible. It was one of the most iconic
22.
Moments. He was 22 years old, and he had nobody on that roster.
Nobody.
Nobody. Yeah. And that is one of the most.
Gibson.
I mean, just, yeah. I mean,
Elgauskas on one foot.
Dude, that team was horrible. That was such a bad basketball team. And every time he left, not every time, but immediately when he left in free agency, they were the worst team in the league.
Yeah.
Immediately upon his departure. Like, the 2007 Cavs team, of all the arguments for LeBron, to me, that's the one that I put the most weight in.
I just
He carried a team to the finals by himself.
I just hate the idea that, like, he couldn't play in certain eras. We've watched this dude.
That's such a dumb argument.
He's
6 foot ten. He's a freight train.
He developed himself into a good enough 3-point shooter.
Yeah,
it's still not smooth and comfortable, but
as his athleticism has declined,
like 38%.
I know
he's still a good 3-point
shooter. When he
lost
to the Mavs in 11, which is sure, it's I guess a blip on the resume. Okay, guys can't lose in big moments. He admitted I took in TV and social media and it killed my mentals. And there you go. You know what he did that summer? No player has come into the next season ever with the amount of pressure that dude went in 2012 with. He went, and got footwork, post-work with Hakeem Olajuwon in Houston.
Let's work on my game.
And
how
what did
I get
he
better?
Do next year? Yeah. He had statistically the best season of his career. Although I would just say, for the record, the best LeBron is the second Cleveland stint LeBron.
Without a doubt.
It is the mastered all the forces and the ways of basketball with still peak athleticism. I know Miami LeBron's in it for most people. Second Cleveland LeBron is my favorite LeBron of all time.
Well, that was a hell of a top 10. Interesting candidates. We'll get Swag's reaction here in a moment. Let me just quickly, let's run through your top 10 one more time. Yeah. 10 through 1.
So
give me one more time.
Yeah, it's Kobe, number 10, Steph, 9, Hakeem, 8, Larry, 7, Shaq, 6, Duncan, 5, Kareem, 4, Magic, 3, Jordan, LeBron.
Okay. There's the top 10. Jason Swigard, your reaction?
I think that's pretty solid.
Pretty solid top 10.
I think there'll be a few things that we value differently when I reveal mine here. But no, I think that's quite a representative top 10 list. For NBA history.
I have a hard time getting worked up and yelling about any of this.
Yeah,
it's so ridiculous.
I mean, there's
like, dude, it's like, yeah, if you want to tell me LeBron's the greatest
then,
of all time.
Don't give words away.
I'll reveal mine and maybe the differences between why I had somebody higher or lower than you did.
The
and,
Hakeem one is, I'm fascinated by that because we both agree and feel
the same way
about Hakeem, and he's not
insane
in your
player.
Top 10.
He's not in Swag's top 10. The other thing that I'll do, because I'll let you go next, Swag, and then I'll finish it off, is basketball dirt.
By the way, that's Brandon Sprague's Bill Chamberlain top 10. There's an era cutoff here. I'm sorry.
We'll recap these again at the end of the show if you missed it. Some more thoughts, and then we'll get to Swag's top 10 next on The Fan.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Why does it feel like nobody really gives us the inside scoop? Join us on The Powers That Be, the podcast where insiders from Puck break down who has influence, how they use it, and what it actually means for you. New episodes every weekday. Listen to The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.